The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host, and it is, well, it's Monday now. Monday, December 7th, week 13 is not in the books, but 12 games are down now. We didn't have any Thursday night football, but had a fantastic slate of wild Sunday action. We will break all of that down, and of course, we will preview the three remaining Monday night football games and one Tuesday night football game. We'll have those previews for the gambling and DFS purposes. Additionally, we have released already in your feed, in your podcast feed, a week 14 look ahead where John Breach and I take a peek at some of the best lines to bet on from the coming week's action. Make sure and check that out. It's a new podcast, a new episode. It's 15 minutes or so. Peep that. Make sure and watch us on CBS Sports HQ when we're doing hits. Ryan Wilson was there doing the recap that he does every single Sunday night for the rest of his life from Stamford, Connecticut. And he joins me as well as John Breach now to break down week 13. What's up, fellas?
We did not let Wilson on the Look Ahead podcast because it's a short 15-minute one, and Wilson hates the short podcasts, as we all know. Just abhors them.
You know what's funny? I used to be really frustrated last year when we have to get together, do the halftime, like brief podcast. I blew up right in my face.
Now you'd kill to do the halftime podcast.
The joke's on you.
Doing a halftime show and then have to do this.
Yeah. Wilson drives 4 hours each way to do 17 minutes of post game.
That gets the strangest looks of just about anything that I've done in the last 5 or 6 years. Okay. From, you drive to Stanford. What is it, an hour? I know it's 4 hours one way. Yeah, I don't mind.
Yeah. Wait, who's giving you the strange looks? Like your wife?
Just like, she knows how far it is. But like people, like, you know, around the office.
I mean, if I was your wife, I'd be checking to make sure you were actually on TV every Sunday night.
I mean, what else would I be doing?
That's how your family's like, we would like to come to Stanford 1 week just to see.
No, they came 1 week.
My wife would be like, I'm coming to Connecticut.
Ryan has like a house full of 12 cats that he takes care of in Stanford. That's why he leaves every weekend.
That's Breach's like pipe dream.
AK always is accused me of, she's like, I bet you have like a secret family, don't you? I'm like, what makes you think I want a second family?
Do you know how much I struggle with this family? Yeah,
why would I want a second family? Then like you guys don't know about each other and I mean, deal with you separately. Yeah. Like
there are people that we know that like drama and like their lives to be hectic and chaotic. That is not me. Like I am not. I got enough stuff to worry about, like in my first family situation. I ain't trying to take on additional family members, man.
And that's something you only see in Lifetime movies. Their heads are spinning and you have a second family. Brinson has a second family, but then it's like, no, this is not a Lifetime movie. We are just trying to do a football podcast. No Lifetime movies here.
Yeah. We're low maintenance around here. Just like my second secret family. Totally low maintenance. Chiefs 22, Broncos 16. The Denver Broncos, one of many dogs that were barking on Sunday. The Broncos covered the plus 13 under 51.5 hit. Patrick Mahomes was his usual ridiculous self, although the Chiefs offense not necessarily explosive in terms of point scoring. This was a box score beat down though, but credit to the Broncos who kept the game very close had a decent chance to win it and ultimately probably lost because Vic Fangio is a complete and total coward and punted on 4th and 3 from midfield while trailing Patrick Mahomes 19-16 with 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
That to me says I do not trust my quarterback, but it's still 4th and 3. Melvin Ingram is running all over that. Melvin Gordon. I always call him Melvin Ingram.
Yeah, me too.
I think I called him that on the show, so that's good to know. I don't know why you do that. You got the ball back, but they had already kicked the field goal. The Chiefs did. And by the way.
Oh, but you're down 6. You need a touchdown.
You got to go for it. Yeah, I'm not defending the decision at all. So the last four games, the Chiefs have won by 6 points or fewer. In fact, 6 points is the most they've won by the last four games. So they're not blowing the doors off people like we're accustomed to doing. But they could have won this game by 13 points if anyone had figured out Tyreek Hill had caught the touchdown pass, that even Tyreek Hill didn't know that he caught, which was crazy. That's one of the craziest things I've seen since the end of the Jets game.
Yeah. By the way, the surrender index as created by, I thought it was John Boy or John Boyce who came up with the idea, but it's basically like how cowardly was your punt? Denver decided to punt, goes to the details, with a surrender index of 29.47. This punt ranks at the 99.6th percentile of cowardly punts of the 2020 season and the 98th percentile of all punts since 2009. Elite level cowardice from Vic Fangio. And you're right. The catch by Tyreek Hill, sort of kind of encapsulates the whole game because the Chiefs breach. I can't stress this enough. They absolutely dominated the Broncos. They had 447 yards to 330. They averaged 7.1 yards per play to 5.4. They had 25 first downs to 16. They ran, they averaged over 6 yards per rush, I believe. 5.4 yards per rush, excuse me. 6.1 yards per rush for the Chiefs and 7.6 yards per pass. They did basically whatever they wanted on offense and still barely beat the Broncos. Denver did a good job in the red zone and just did enough on offense to keep it competitive, but this could have been a beatdown.
Yeah. And the whole red zone, that's it. That's why this game wasn't 43-16 like it was last time. The Chiefs went 0-for-4 as far as scoring touchdowns in the red zone. We saw them get inside, the 10 yard line twice and not score a touchdown either time. And then they got inside the 20 yard line 4 times, 0 touchdowns. And the Broncos defense, the Chiefs went and had their way between the 20s, but then the Broncos defense would kind of clamp up. But talking about this, the fact that they were able to get to the red zone so easily, you ask yourself, again, why would Vic Fangio punt? As we have just been talking about, there was no indication the Broncos defense was going to stop Kansas City. The Chiefs did not have a single 3-and-out in this game. So even though they did punt a couple times, so maybe you're Fangio, you're hoping for the punt. You saw the prior, whatever, like 9 possessions, 10 possessions.
One of the punts was the Tyreek Hill touchdown too, by the way.
Well, right. So that shouldn't even been a punt. So if you count that touchdown, so that shouldn't have been a punt. That means the Chiefs punted twice. Neither of them, again, were 3-and-out. So the Chiefs were going to burn time off the clock no matter what. The Broncos did not prove that they could stop them, especially in the clutch. So, I don't know what Vic Fangio was thinking. And, the Chiefs got to get their red zone ways fixed. But, you mentioning that all their past four games are close. I don't think I'm that concerned. Because the crazy thing is, the only game they played in the past 4 weeks that I was like, oh my God, they might lose this was against the Panthers. Like, of all the teams, they were, they were blowing out the Buccaneers before Tampa made that comeback. I never thought Kansas City was going to lose that game. That Raiders game was close, but I just felt like Kansas City was in control the whole time. And that was the same thing with this Denver game. It was close, but there was never a point where I thought the Chiefs were going to lose.
It feels like I mentioned that at the top just because, we've sort of fallen into the pattern of saying the Chiefs are clearly the best team in the AFC. The Steelers are second or third or whatever. And
there's a lot of pushback. There's a lot of pushback in this game. Like, oh, what about the Steelers?
Well, that's the thing. Like there, and I say this every week, the Chiefs defense isn't very good. Last year, a year ago, around this time, they started getting really good and that helped get them through the playoffs of the Super Bowl. But there aren't a lot of great defenses this year. It's all about offense. And, clearly the Chiefs offense is better than the Steelers offense. But I don't think it's that much better to the point where it's guaranteed that the Chiefs are winning that game. I don't know, 8 out of 10 times. I think it may be a little closer than that.
And here's a fun fact from Debo. So the Chiefs went to the red zone 4 times, did not score a single touchdown. They now have a streak of 7 red zone drives without a touchdown. That is the longest in the NFL, beating out the Jets and the Giants. So we're talking about two just offenses have been totally horrible. And now somehow the Kansas City Chiefs have gone the most consecutive red zone possessions without a touchdown.
And worth noting, by the way, Jay Glazer reported on Sunday morning that the Chiefs had a, quote, major scare. Apparently about 3:30 a.m. they had 7 positive COVID tests, including multiple coaches. And so for the next 5 hours, they did all this contact tracing, wake everybody up, retest, and then find out they were all false positive. So maybe we give them a little bit of leeway in terms of sleepwalking. The Chiefs become the first AFC team to clinch a playoff spot. They have not yet clinched the
Divisiones.
Wait, they have not clinched the division, right?
No, this is a playoff spot.
Then how has Pittsburgh not clinched a playoff spot?
They haven't played yet. They play tomorrow, Monday.
I'm aware of that, but they're 11-0 and Chiefs are 11-1.
I don't know what to tell you. I just read what they put in front of me. I'm like, what's his face from the movie?
Ron Burgundy?
Thank you. Yes. You know what I'm talking about.
No, but I'm saying, like, if the Steelers lose, they'll be 11-1 as well.
Yeah. So, Pittsburgh can clinch a playoff berth with a Pitt win or a tie.
Yes. If the Raiders had lost today, they would have clinched. The Raiders did not lose. If the Dolphins had lost, if the Colts had lost, none of that happened. So the Steelers have to win. So if the Steelers, obviously, if they lost out, they go 11-5, and apparently there are 7 other teams that could get to 11-5.
Don't take it up with me. Take it up with the NFL.
But then how have the Chiefs clinched?
Because if they finished 11-5, they would clearly have a tiebreaker over whoever is left on the schedule, maybe even the Steelers.
There you go.
I mean, if you want me to come up with a scenario where it happens,
we
can take a 25-minute break, and I'll come up with one.
You do understand why I'm asking the question, right?
This is the first schedule-related dunked on. Way to go, Breach. Schedule dunking.
I think it's a fair question.
Yeah. No, I understand.
You're 11-1, and they've clinched the playoff spot as the number 2 seed, but they haven't won the division. And the Steelers,
conspiracy.
Steelers are 11-0, and if they lose and go to 11-1, which is the same record as the Chiefs, they won't have a playoff spot clinch. And I'm not sure you can guarantee strength of victory either. Who cares? The Chiefs clinch a playoff spot. That's what the NFL is telling us. So we are going to roll with it. And dig into it maybe later. We don't need to spend a ton of time doing that. The only NFC team that has clinched a playoff spot is the New Orleans Saints, who is the number 1 seed, the way it should be. So weird.
So assuming the Steelers beat the football team, the rest of the schedule, you feel better about the Chiefs or the Steelers as number 1 seed? Because the Chiefs still have to play the Saints. I think the rest of their schedule is pretty easy. The Steelers have to play football team, and then they play the Bills next Sunday night, then they play the Colts, and they have to play the Browns again too.
I feel like the Steelers will probably lose 2 games.
The Chiefs have to play at Miami in week 14.
There you go. So
that's not a guarantee win.
Yeah.
All right.
At Miami, at New Orleans, Atlanta, and the Chargers.
So who's the favorite?
I think Chiefs go 14. I think both the Steelers and the Chiefs go 14-2.
So then it depends on who you lose to.
I think they go 15-1.
Who?
Both.
Oh. Ooh.
So you have the Chiefs winning out.
I think the Chiefs went out.
I mean, that's entirely possible.
Yeah, anything's possible. All right.
And imagine a 15-1 team not getting a bye.
You're crazy.
And the 15-1 team doesn't get the bye after having to reschedule half their games because other teams weren't following the rules and they followed all the rules.
I cannot hear Steelers fans whinge about this.
This will not be the last time you hear that.
So awful. It's like, what? Punish the Ravens. Suspend the Ravens. It's so unfair.
That's a good Steelers impression.
Thank you. Punish the Ravens. I was trying to do like a more of a
Yenterick accent.
Yeah. So the Broncos are now 4-8.
Yeah.
Is Fangio's not getting fired, right? Like
there are some coaching decisions that were glaring compared to the Andy Reid.
I don't think he's a good in-game head coach.
The punt.
The punt is a glaring one. And look, man, there's only so much you can do with Drew Lock, who clearly he doesn't trust. And that's okay. You don't have to trust your second year quarterback. You can lean on the run game, which they did and they had success with. But some of the mistakes that Drew Lock, I mean, the first interception on the very first drive was hard to explain. And the interception to end the game was also hard to explain. He made a couple good throws to Tim Patrick, who played really well. But Jerry Jeudy wasn't 100%. KJ Hamler got involved and did some good things. But you have
Jerry Jeudy got locked down.
He was hurt. There was some conversation they might have played. But you have so many playmakers that you – I know Courtland Sutton's been gone for most of the year. But you have to be able to be more productive than what we've seen. And there's nothing that I've seen so far that screams Drew Lock is the future, the guaranteed future.
Okay. I mean, what does that have to do with Vic Fangio?
It's not all on Vic Fangio. That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, he's a great defensive coordinator. And again, we talk about it all the time. It's hard to sort of predict how a great coordinator will be as head coach because it's a different job description. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. They could have won that football game and they did.
They feel like they're floating towards the middle of the pack and they will be meaningless for most of the year. We'll see tomorrow. We'll see you next year. The Chiefs now, by the way, now 31-4 against the AFC West since 2015. That is
ridiculous.
Patrick Mahomes 16-2 with a 102.2 passer rating in his career against AFC West opponents. He's the only quarterback in Super Bowl era with a 750 win percentage or higher and a 100 passer rating or higher in divisional games. So congrats, AFC West. You are screwed for the next decade.
Can I give you one more fun fact before we move on to this?
You may.
So Patrick Mahomes' dad played Major League Baseball. He was a pitcher. Pat Mahomes played 11 seasons. How much money do you think he made in those 11 seasons? I think he was drafted in 1988, and I think he was called up a few years later.
$7.8 million.
$2.6
million.
Jeez.
Patrick Mahomes make that for this game?
I won.
This is the headline.
I was closer than Brinson.
Sportscasting.com wrote this headline on July 6th after Patrick Mahomes the second got his new deal. In one season, Patrick Mahomes will make $47 million more than his father did in 11 Major League Baseball seasons.
Ho-ho! That was Pat Mahomes dunking on Pat Mahomes.
But that's just amazing.
It is incredible. All
right. And then the ball from the dunk landing in a swimming pool full of cash that they both swim in because they have so much money.
I'm sure he's fine with it. Browns 41, Titans 35, a game that was not as close as that score would lead you to believe. The Browns covered as this says 3.5-point dogs. I guess they were steamed down. They were like 6-point dogs. Cannot believe I didn't bet on that game.
Hey, before you go on, can we get a preemptive dunk on Breach for being all over the Titans?
Why do you guys have to dunk on me? I've been dunked on for 12 hours straight. Cleveland Browns fan just coming all up in my Twitter, dunking on me left and right. And I deserve it. And you know what the crazy thing is that how many games have been played so far? 12. I'm 10-2 picking games straight up. And the only two I've missed are Browns Titans and my, what I call the lock of the week, quote unquote. So, and I hit everything else, Seahawks over Giants. So here's the hold up.
Two preemptive dunks in one podcast.
So here's exactly how I thought this game was going to play out. Look, we know the Titans don't have a pass rush. They have zero pass rush. That's going to crush them. That is why they're not going to win the Super Bowl. They're going to get crushed by Pat Mahomes or somebody else who can sit back there and just pick them apart. I didn't think Baker Mayfield was capable of doing that. That's what it comes down to. He's had some disastrous games this year. I didn't think he was going to throw for almost 300 yards and 4 touchdowns in the first half. There hasn't been.
He didn't either.
No quarterback.
Neither did Kevin Stefanski.
In the NFL, besides Baker Mayfield, has thrown. Yeah, no one did. Like, no one in the Browns organization thought this was going to happen. So I will give all the credit to Baker Mayfield. Absolutely prove me wrong here. He played a phenomenal first half. He even caught a pass.
Was this his best game as a pro?
Yes. He had 4 touchdowns in the first half. The last time that happened, Otto Graham in 1951.
Is that right? Really?
I just saw it on the bottom of this during the game. So yeah, I think the.
Wow. Wild.
And this was actually fun fact. The second time this season, Baker Mayfield has thrown 4 touchdown passes in a half. He did it in the second half, against the Bengals back in week 7. No other quarterback in the NFL has thrown 4 touchdown passes in a half this year. So Baker Mayfield's done it twice. No one else has done it a single time.
Baker Mayfield was asked about, you know, learning from his mistakes and all this stuff. And I meant to ask Diva to pull the audio, but I'll just read the quote instead. He said, whenever I'm about to do something, I think, would an idiot do that? And if they would, then I don't do that.
Good way to go through life.
It really is. I think everybody should start asking themselves, would an idiot do that? And then if the idiot would do that, you don't do that. Look, Baker was awesome in this game. He looked sharp. He was throwing the ball down the field. He was throwing the ball into tight windows. He wasn't making mistakes. He wasn't panicking. He wasn't offering up easy turnovers. The run game flowed well off of him. Do you think this is this a legitimate upside for the Browns, or is this just sort of an aberration? What do we think?
It's great news for the Browns. I think here's the thing. Here's my biggest takeaway. Kevin Stefanski is legit coach of the year because he's been able to balance in Cleveland what he was able to do in Minnesota with the run game. Nick Chubb is probably 1B to Derrick Henry in terms of the best running back in the NFL. Alvin Kamara, Dalvin Cook, I mean, they're all in the conversation, but he is so important to what they do, and so is Kareem Hunt. And if those things work early, then it makes Baker Mayfield's job much easier. And by the way, when Baker's up 14-0, he plays a lot more confidence than he does when he's down 14-0. Mm-hmm. The Browns are down 14-0. They ain't coming back. And I think you see that in Baker's demeanor and some of the decisions he makes when he talks about being an idiot or whatever. And they're up early, and he was playing with a ton of confidence. Also helping them, Breon Border, number 39, who had a rough day. I mean, I saw his back so much running after Cleveland Browns receivers. I don't even know I don't know what his face looks like. He's just running after people left and right. So, I think the early start, the fast start for the Browns helps Baker Mayfield, but I don't think this changes anything in terms of, if they're down, how does Baker respond?
It's hard to picture them coming out of like the AFC, for instance.
Now look, they're, Breach, are they better than the Titans? You had the Titans number 2 in the AFC last week.
Yeah.
I do not think they're better than this game. Was a weird game for Tennessee. They had a failed fourth down on their first drive. Derrick Henry fumbled for the first time all season, on kind of a weird play for him. Yeah. And then the Browns scored, on a 20-yard drive after that fumble. And all of a sudden they were up 17-0. And at that point, it just felt like it's one of those games where everything's going right for one team and everything's going wrong for the other team. And that doesn't mean the Browns aren't a good team. I just think if these teams played 10 times, I think the Titans win 6 or 7. I think they're close.
Excuse me.
I just think the Titans are slightly better.
Are the Titans still the number 2 team in the AFC for you? Why are you hesitating? They've lost to the Browns and they lost to the Bengals.
I mean, they lost to the Bengals like 5 weeks ago.
Still counts as a loss.
Fine, I'll drop them to number 3. I'll put them behind the Steelers.
How about what? You had them ahead of the Steelers?
That's all I talked about.
Did you really do that?
I had the Chiefs at the top, and then the Titans, and then the Steelers.
I mean, you need to grow up. One, two,
grow up. The Colts
the Colts are better than the Titans. Let's get real here.
All right, you can't forget the Colts.
The Colts who just lost 45-26
without DeForest Buckner. And DeNico Autry? Yeah, I mean, if you lose your top 2 defensive linemen with COVID issues, it's going to be a problem. Against Derrick Henry, yes. If you lose your top 2 interior defensive linemen against Derrick Henry. Anyway, look, I think this is the Titans' problem. Their defense stinks.
That's their problem. No pass is their problem. Like, secondary stinks.
Like, I don't think they'll have to play the Ravens this year because it doesn't look like the Ravens are going to make it to the postseason, but it's possible that they could.
Yeah.
But I don't – like, the Tennessee team we saw last playoff season – is not walking through that door, right? Like they're
you
not.
You know how bad this pass rush has been? Like this has been so bad that no one's even talking about the fact that Jadeveon Clowney had season ending surgery.
That's because they went out and got their pass rushers and Vic Beasley and Clowney who combined for 0 sacks and, none of them will be playing the rest of the season. Yeah. They already cut Beasley and obviously Clowney out for the year. Well, the thing is, even though their defense is that bad, there are so many erratic quarterbacks in the AFC. You know, like Patrick Mahomes, again, he's the one guy who's going to take advantage of this defense every time he plays them. But like Baker Mayfield, you don't know what you're going to get. If Tua is the starting quarterback in the playoffs, there's no guarantee he can take advantage of it. Phillip Rivers gets hot and cold, so there's no guarantee there. You know, Derek Carr, if he's in the playoffs. So it's just, I think the Titans can beat anyone except for the Chiefs.
I mean, yes, the Titans have the upside to beat anybody on any given day. I mean, they do. They have playmakers. They have a great run game, and AJ Brown.
The defense is a problem, though.
The defense is a problem. Yeah, they can lose to anybody. They can beat anybody.
They need Derrick Henry to run for 200 yards and Ryan Tannehill to play like a top 5 quarterback, which he does a lot of the times. Otherwise, sort of the Russ Wilson syndrome. If he ain't perfect, it's going to be a problem.
Baker Mayfield, 9-10, 184 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 18.4 yards per attempt on play action. That is the Kevin Stefanski factor at work. I think it is worth mentioning that when you look at the standings. I've been kind of pouring over these all day. The only team with a new coach that's not in the AFC or the NFC East that is in the playoffs right now are the Cleveland Browns. Did not see that coming.
Yeah, and not only that, I mean, you have to give extra credit to Kevin Stefanski because he had to follow Freddie Kitchens.
That's right. Now,
it wasn't like your conventional bad sort of coach that didn't work out. This is Freddie Kitchen level ineptitude that he had to overcome, and he did it rather quickly. And also, Andrew Berry.
The reverse argument there, though, is that he got to take over a team that Freddie Kitchens got to 6-10. So you would think that they should win more games than that if Freddie Kitchens got them to six wins.
Wow. It's fair. All right, let's move on. Raiders, Jets.
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable ending as the Raiders hit a touchdown pass from Derek Carr to Henry Ruggs with 13 seconds left on the clock. Raiders win 31-28. The Jets cover the 7.5-point spread. The over 48.5 hits. Derek Carr had a monster game. Darren Waller had a bigger game. And Sam Darnold also finished with 23 fantasy points. The big takeaway from this game, though, of course, has to be the fact that the Jets and Greg 3G Williams, on the final play call, according to ESPN Stats and Info, made a historical decision. There have been 252 pass plays over the past 15 years where there was less than 15 seconds. The team that had the ball was down 4 to 8 points, so a touchdown, and they were 40 yards or more away from the end zone. The Jets were the first team in the ever of those pass attempts. In the history of that situation to send 6+ pass rushers at the quarterback, and it resulted in a one-on-one matchup with Henry Ruggs on a Hail Mary situation. He did a double move. He beat him deep. And
hold on. Not only did he beat him deep, he beat Lamar Jackson, not the quarterback. He might as well have been the quarterback, a rookie out of Nebraska, late round pick. That's who Greg Williams thought would best match up against Henry Ruggs one-on-one in the most important play of that team season.
Yeah. We had Jordy Nelson on the Fantasy Football Today Twitch stream, and we were asking about the coverage. He's like, I mean, and he said this jokingly, but I feel like if he said it on a radio show, it might end up being like blog headlines. He said, I'm going to paraphrase him. He said, that's the kind of coverage you would call if you were tanking. Like if you were trying not to win, that's the kind of coverage you would call in a Hail Mary. And he's not wrong. I mean, I think everybody sort of thinks that. Like there is no way in hell.
You just read the stat.
Yeah. Nobody's ever done it before. Why on earth would you go engage 8 when all you have to do is run everybody back to the end zone? You're up by 4 points. They're not going to beat you unless they hit a long Hail Mary. Why would you blitz everybody?
Or even like not worst case, because what Greg Williams did was worst case, but one case above that, you can still be dumb, but maybe have 2 safeties back there, rush 6 or rush 7, have one, like any, just one extra guy for help.
They're called safeties for a reason. And I saw somebody, I can't remember who said this. It was somebody on Twitter, but they pointed out that somebody smart, I think.
Probably me.
It wasn't worth it. They're like, Greg Williams hates Adam Gase and would love to have the stench of 0-16 attached to Adam Gase. So is it possible that he purposely undermined his head coach by blitzing? Like, do we believe that this is negligence, malfeasance, incompetence, purposeful dereliction of duty, or do we just think the Jets are morons?
There's no way the Jets are morons. I mean, you just read the stat. 252 times this happened. One time did someone rush 7 people. It's funny you mentioned Jordy Nelson's comments. I asked Brian McFadden, who we work with, play for the Steelers and the Cardinals, cornerback. I said, B-Mac, what would you do in that situation if you were defensive back on the field and the call came in that's cover 0 where you have no safeties back there? He said, I would call a timeout because that is basically an idiotic coverage to play again for all the same reasons. So the feeling is that this was done on purpose because if the Jets had won that game, then the Jaguars are getting the number one overall pick as we sit here. And the Jags almost had a chance to win. They had to go to overtime and almost beat the Vikings. But the Jaguars don't have the number one overall pick now simply because of that one play. And here's the thing. The play before, Nelson Aguilar was wide ass open too, and Derek Carr missed him in the end zone. So they came back. They doubled down. I don't know what the coverage was in the play before, but clearly we know what happened in the last play with Lamar Jackson, not the Ravens quarterback, in coverage. And there is no explanation. And it's to the point where there's some murmurings of conspiracy by the Jets to guarantee that they had.
That's what I'm saying. Like, do we think it was like a purposeful? I'm trying to adjust.
Let me ask you this. Let's say it is a legit conspiracy where someone in the Jets organization said, all right, whatever you do, let Henry Ruggs score. What's the NFL do in that situation?
Look, even though, let's say worst case,
number one overall draft pick,
right?
Greg Williams did this on purpose to make Adam Gase look bad. Like, you also have the stink of 0-16. You're the defensive coordinator for an 0-16.
Let me ask you this, Breach. Who is the defensive coordinator for the 0-16 Browns?
Greg Williams, which is what I was going to bring up.
Is he really?
Yes, it was Greg Williams. He's the defensive coordinator. I was about to go there. I was going to say, how does this guy keep getting the jobs? Greg Williams was the defensive coordinator.
Because all I can think about is Hugh Jackson.
Do you know who the defense coordinator was for the 2008 0-16 Lions?
Rod Marinelli?
Greg Williams.
No, that's a joke.
I made that one up.
I was going to do a dance back there. All right, go ahead.
That was Joe Barry. Here's the thing, though. Even though you do this, the only explanation that makes sense, right, is you're thinking, if you're Greg Williams, if you hurry up and run it, Derek Carr is not going to have enough time to throw it. And if Henry Ruggs catches it at the 8-yard line and gets tackled, the game's over. You know, if he's tackled in the field of play, the game is over. I think he tried to make Derek Carr make a quick thought and throw it. But again, as you guys said, it was a moronic call. It was one of the worst defensive calls in the history of football, even back before the forward pass was invented, when every call
to counterpoint your point there, that's a situation where you rush two and you put Denzel Mims and Brashad Perriman on the goal line to break it up. I mean, to your point. Here's what I agree with you guys.
I was just trying to say the only thing that makes sense. It doesn't make sense.
I don't know
what Greg Williams is thinking.
The list of crazy things I've seen this season, how I'd rank them. Number one is DK Metcalf running down Buda Baker. That's number one for me this season in terms of just nutty plays. Number two is the Hail Mary by the Cardinals in the end zone. And this is without question number three for me. I don't even know what's a close fourth, how stupid it was.
And why do you want the Jets to get Trevor Lawrence? Because Greg Williams, you're not going to be around. You're going to get fired if this team goes 0-16. So you don't get to enjoy the fruits of your dumb call labor.
What did Marcus say?
He said, that situation just has to be a better call. We got to execute, but you got to help us out at the same time. I mean, everybody knows it's a terrible call. You don't blitz there. It's just, you just don't do it. You drop back and try and stop the Hail Mary. And I tend to think that because of Greg Williams' history of doing dumbass stuff and losing a bunch of football games and being over aggressive in his blitz happy packages, that it's probably just sheer incompetence. But man, I mean, it's hard not to see that and think this is a team that wants to tank.
Now, don't you give him too much credit. There's something nefarious going on. He has the sinister, central casting villain, stupid glasses and dark goatee. I mean, he's that guy.
It's bad. I hate Greg Williams.
And by the way, good on Henry Ruggs for catching that, because he totally did need to redeem himself in this game.
Yeah.
First possession, Derek Carr threw an interception, but it was off of Henry Ruggs' hand. So basically his fault that happened. He also had a fumble, I think, in the fourth quarter that ended up the Jets scored the go-ahead touchdown after that fumble. So he kind of needed this to redeem himself, but good for him.
Indeed, he did. The Raiders with the win. And so the Jets haven't locked up the number one seed. If they win a game and the Jaguars lose out and the Jaguars go 1-15, the Jags will get the one seed because of strength of schedule. It's weird. It always messes me up because you would think that strength of schedule at the higher. You want the lower strength of schedule to get the higher.
Are you mad if you're the Jaguars right now, but you don't have Trevor Lawrence wrapped up?
No, because they almost won the game too. We'll get to that in a minute, but
they're trying.
Raiders are now the eighth spot in the playoff hunt. They are tied with Baltimore, but they have the tiebreaker over them. A one game back, both teams 6-5 currently, one game back of Miami and Indianapolis for those wild card spots. Do you think the Raiders get into the playoffs? Because right now, it does not feel like they are going to overcome. They get the Colts head-to-head next week in Las Vegas. Colts a three-point favorite.
Yeah, we'll know in 7 days. I think that'll be a good test because that'll be one up on whoever the team is that wins that, and it could be curtains for the other team.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably it's not a loser leaves town game.
Right.
But if the Raiders lose, they are probably.
I mean, it feels that way for the Raiders. It's not for the Colts because they're a game ahead, and, you know, they could go 3-1 down the stretch with the loss of the Raiders, probably be okay.
Well, here's the thing, though. That's the toughest game. Well, they do have to play Miami, but they play Miami in Las Vegas. The other games seem winnable, but the Colts have to play this game, and then they have to play the Steelers. So they still have some work to do.
That's a free win.
It could be. Could be.
I'm just kidding. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll keep moving through the games.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has 3 episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.
I mentioned Jaguars. We're not going to talk about that right now. Instead, we're going to talk about the Packers and the Eagles.
Oh, boy.
Hey, boy. Well, Debo, unmute yourself because you're surely going to have to chime in on this one after we
Poor Debo.
Saw Carson Wentz benched. And let's not call it. Let's call it what it was. He was benched, Debo, for Jalen Hurts. Thanks to Aaron Jones ripping off a long touchdown run the Eagles couldn't even cover. And they lose 30-16. Packers minus 8.5 hits, under 49.5. The Packers were a perfect teaser team. I hope you utilize them as RJ White advised. Aaron Rodgers, 29 fantasy points. Devontae Adams, 24. Aaron Jones, 20 points. And most importantly, 5-1. What did I say to do on the preview podcast, Debo? I said, bet Devontae Adams, first touchdown score. Bang! 5-1. Big one hits. What do you think about the Eagles here?
Well, I will say that one touchdown drive that Jalen Hurts led was probably the most alive that I've felt in months. So
it was a beautiful throw.
It was great. I think it was just a matter of time before we saw this moment. It was inevitable for weeks and weeks. And I think everyone kind of anticipated that initial spark and then that spark wore down pretty quickly. I just think Jalen Hurts is the better suited quarterback for a team with a broken offensive line and broken receivers and broken play calling. I don't think he's a better suited quarterback for a team that really wants to compete, but that's fine right now. I think Jalen Hurts should play the next week. I'm not convinced that he will, but Carson Wentz, we know it's a lost year. I don't think it's a lost career yet. Let's roll with Jalen Hurts.
Wow. Wow. You know,
DBL makes a good point because Jalen Hurts, I remember talking to a coach last year at the Combine who said that Jalen Hurts was the best running back in the Big 12 last year. And he wasn't saying it in a derogatory manner, just said that's how good he was at running the ball. And you see Jalen Hurts out there. He looks like Derrick Henry and he's a much better runner. And you know, Carson Wentz runs and you're just waiting for the worst to happen. And I'll give Jalen Hurts credit. I mean, he didn't throw the ball on time every time, but the ball came out much quicker than it did with Carson Wentz. And I think Carson Wentz is just so deep into his own head that he just doesn't know what to do. It also doesn't help that on the other side of the field, you're watching Aaron Rodgers just be a maestro. And like, oh, right, that's what a quarterback looks like. And Carson Wentz is just like, oh, my God. Like, he has to see it. It's like, you know, your boyfriend dumps you or your girlfriend dumps you and you work out, you get really strong or whatever. And then you see her new boyfriend and he looks like Brad Pitt. Like, all right, what am I doing? Didn't even work. I mean, I'm still a slob. And that's Carson Wentz right now looking at Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I think mental is totally impacting physical for Carson Wentz right now. I think the mental part of it came first. The negative mental play really affected the physical. I don't think it was the other way around for him.
Right.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I think it's almost a negative. I may have mentioned this last week, but I sort of floated this theory throughout the week. It's almost a negative that the Eagles are in the playoff hunt and in this division hunt, because you feel like if they were, you know, like normally you're 3-7-1 or 3-6-1 and your season's over, right? You kind of do like the Falcons do, just sort of.
Exactly.
Like that's, yeah, nothing to play for, nothing to lose, nothing to gain. I'm going to go out there and play loose and play a little free. And maybe Carson Wentz could get some of that mojo back, but he understands how important every week is. And I would guess that if they do what you're suggesting, Debo, and I don't really think Breach and Ryan understand how radical it was for you to throw out the fact that you
think. Of course we do. Debo's fan number two of Carson Wentz behind.
He's Carson Wentz's biggest defender. I thought Debo
second biggest.
Was going to get somebody at CBS to get him on the phone with Doug Peterson so he could ream him out for benching Carson Wentz. Little did I know that Debo was on board with this move.
Doesn't change a single thing about what I think for 2021, but like Will's saying, let's embrace the rest of 2020 and throw hearts out there.
Yeah. I think what they will do is start Wentz. Because if you bench Carson Wentz in the middle of 2020 in a playoff hunt, then you have to explain to the guy who writes your checks why he wrote several hundred million dollar check. Or
the guy who writes Doug Peterson's check reportedly stormed out of the, didn't go to the game 2 weeks ago because he reportedly wasn't crazy about the way the team's playing. He's
Jeffrey Lurie or Howie Roseman?
Jeffrey Lurie, the head owner.
So, one other point about the Eagles, and we make this every week, but I saw it brought up again. They drafted, they drafted Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson when everybody
Reagor played well today.
Reagor played, we had a punt return for a touchdown, but Justin Jefferson, who we'll get to in a minute, might win Offensive Rookie of the Year. They drafted J.J. Arcega-Whiteside over D.K. Metcalf.
Yeah, I mean, there's extenuating circumstances, but yeah, that wasn't great. I agree.
And they drafted Jordan Matthews over Devontae Adams.
God, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, I'm over that one at this point. But
I mean, Devontae Adams just torched you, so I don't know.
It's
about
a fair
that.
Point.
Like if Devontae Adams were, if you had Devontae Adams on the Eagles, it'd be kind of nice.
Yeah, I don't know if he would be Devontae Adams on the Eagles.
I mean, can he play left tackle? I mean, it may not matter.
Anyway, Packers are rolling. I think there's a reasonable case to be made that Aaron Rodgers should be the MVP.
So have you guys seen the odds? So MVP right now, I think it's minus 450 for for Patrick Mahomes. I think it's plus 550 for Aaron Rodgers. Plus 1800 for Big Ben, and then it goes from there. I think those are the top three.
If you can bet on Aaron Rodgers at 5-1, at 3.5-1 or better, I think that's a good wager.
And here's the thing, and this, you know, it blew up my face because I was all over why aren't the Packers trading for Will Fuller, and I keep talking about it, and then he got suspended. So, you know.
Sucks to be y'all.
He needs one person, Devontae Adams, because that's the only person he will throw the ball to. He can turn around and hand the ball to Aaron Jones. That's fine. But in terms of receivers, Devontae Adams is all he needs. He had his 400th touchdown pass in this game. Devontae Adams is so good. He was there. He caught Aaron Rodgers' 200th touchdown pass. That's how long he's been there. That was his first touchdown. Aaron Rodgers talked about it after the game.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
That's a fun fact, Ryan. That's how you got to posit that.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah.
How many of those 400 passing touchdowns do you think Jordy Nelson caught?
No, did he tell you?
No, we looked at
it. Oh, I was going to – 40?
61.
69.
Wow, it's closer than Ryan. I'm winning all the guessing games tonight.
I know. All right.
What's the prize?
But yeah, no, I like Aaron Rodgers as the MVP front runner because he's doing it with basically one weapon.
Well, as good as Patrick Mahomes has been over the last month, I think that people will sour a little bit on the Chiefs unless they just blow people out. And
that's right. They're unreasonable expectations. Because of what we've seen in the past.
And,
but I mean, if they go 15-1 and only win the games by 5 points, I think
they go 15-1, they might not even be the one seed.
So here's the thing.
I'm talking about MVP. If the Chiefs go 15-1, Mahomes will win the MVP.
Hold on. The disrespect coming out of your mouth, Mr. Tennessee Titan. So if you look at the numbers, Mahomes, Rodgers, and Big Ben have similar stats in terms of touchdowns and interceptions. If the Steelers go 16-0 and Big Ben has 40 touchdowns and 6 interceptions, he has 30-4 right now. What are you doing with that?
Giving it to Mahomes.
I still think, here's the deal.
What, Mahomes hasn't had the Aaron Rodgers meltdown. Aaron Rodgers literally cost them a game against the Buccaneers. So, you know, the game the Chiefs lost.
The Steelers are 16-0.
Mahomes put up 32 points. But the Steelers are like, the defense is not carrying the team, but.
Oh my, listen to this guy.
Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes do not have that good of a defense.
I think you are sleeping on, and you get Rodgers at plus 450 at William Hill. I would go about that now. Mahomes minus 500, Russ 15-1. Russ is toast. I think that there's also, I think you're sleeping on the idea that a lot of these old crusty voters like Pete Prisco will say like, "Ah, Mahomes is going to win a bunch down the road. Roger, this is the last chance Roger will get."
And they'll or Big Ben.
Up. Yeah, but nobody cares about Big Ben.
We'll see. 16-0, 40-6. Calling it now. We're going to lose a football team.
Yeah, y'all going to lose them one day.
I like the Rodgers.
I would bet Rodgers at plus 450 if you can. Yeah. All right, let's get to the next game, which is, of course.
Eagles done in the division?
No.
I'd like to bring up real quick as we get into this next game, which is the Giants and the Seahawks. Last week, Brinson made to me, and I think to Ryan as well, an asinine comment that Russell Wilson would win 12 games with the Eagles.
Oh, yes. Great. Thank you, Debo.
This guy might not even win 12 games with the Seattle Seahawks this year.
Hold on, Debo. Cue it up.
I'm sorry. Did you?
You just got dunked on. Play the music.
4 minutes ago, you were like, I think we need to see the offense with a more, I don't know, what would you say, more mobile quarterback? You mean like Russell Wilson?
Let Debo finish.
They lost by 14 today, and Jalen Hurts was 5 for 12 with a pick. But our guy, Stephen O from Sportsline, who we quote all the time, I had him run the numbers. I had him run the numbers.
Little F.
And you insert Russell Wilson into the Eagles, and I made a point to say, same circumstances, offensive line injury, same weapons, play calling, all that. Russell Wilson worth 2 wins. The Eagles would be about a 6-win team with Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson, Russell Williams. It doesn't matter which Russell you put there.
The Eagles Russell Westbrook.
Westbrook. Russell Simmons.
Kurt Russell.
So yes.
Kurt Russell.
Stephen O said 2 wins or maybe a little bit more is the value that Russ would add to the Eagles.
12 wins. What are you smoking?
Well, I disagree with that. I think Russell.
I disagree with numbers.
I mean, I don't have to agree with Stephen O's numbers.
Stop the count.
Yeah, stop the count. Well played, Debo. Well played, you little sneak.
That Debo going behind Brinson's back. Stephen O, hey, I need you to run some numbers. Like, that's hilarious.
Stephen O's like, what is this for?
Russell Wilson on the Eagles? Do you know something I don't know? What do you want? What are you asking for?
No, he was
not. Brinson's a moron.
He was well aware of the conversation as I brought it to him. He said he heard it on the podcast. He said he saw it on social media. So I think he was ready for it.
Yeah, I think Stephen's a great guy. He listens. He does. I remember him, you know, he had an interesting point. This is way off topic, but, before this season, he was telling me, he's like, or maybe it was before the 2019 season. I'm trying to remember, but he was like, no, 2020. He's like, do you think the Ravens could sign Derrick Henry in free agency? It would be the perfect matchup for Lamar Jackson. And he also, it was nailed the Sims last year with Lamar Jackson. So give him credit where credit's due. Anyway, Colt McCoy went on the road. Good segue here. And beat Russell Wilson. The Giants win 17-12. Obviously, the Giants cover as a huge dog. The under easily hit. That was one of my best bets for the week. Woo! Russell Wilson and Chris Carson both had 16 fantasy points. And the last time a team with Colt McCoy as a starting quarterback won a football game was when, Ryan?
Thanksgiving Day game over the Cowboys? Was that the game?
No.
Oh, that was a huge win for them.
Wait, no. Yes.
Yeah, he went down there. Right?
2014, yeah.
Yeah, that was a huge one because that's the game where our buddy Chad Dukes was going crazy
No, it wasn't Thanksgiving.
Oh, but
it was October 27th.
But it was the then Redskins playing in Dallas. Is that right?
That is correct.
And I think Tony Romo was the quarterback and Brandon Weeden was also the quarterback, right? That they both correct. Threw touchdown passes. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think Whedon was on the Cowboys then.
I think I saw that stat earlier today where they both for some.
How do you remember that game, Ryan?
I saw a stat earlier today, maybe during the telecast, about the Colt McCoy playing. And I think I saw a stat where Romo and Brandon Whedon both threw touchdown passes in that game. I could be wrong about that part.
Do the Giants, the Washington football team plays on Monday.
So let's reset. I have the Giants starting last week. We bet $20 each, I think.
My God.
I have the Giants. Old Breach, who's having a tough go of it with the Titans. He had the Cowboys.
Yep.
Debo obviously has the Eagles, and you're on football team, Brinson. So where are we?
Well, currently.
I feel pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that if I were power ranking our enthusiasm for our selections, I would say Ryan 1.
Absolutely. And a tie for second in the toilet.
No.
With a giant dump on top of it.
No, I would say I'm second.
No way. The Cowboys are second. Have you seen their schedule?
Football team is second because they haven't played yet.
Yeah, they're going to lose this.
That was an accidental drop. They're 3-8, and they're going to lose on Tuesday.
And they play the Bengals and the Eagles and the Giants. It's all winnable games.
Lamar's coming back.
Yeah, I'm giving them the loss to the Ravens.
Oh, okay.
You're 3-9. You went out. You went out.
You're fourth. You're fourth on this list.
No, oh, the Eagles are ahead of the Cowboys?
Debo's quarterback just got benched, and he's happy about it. He's fourth.
Debo?
Sometimes you just need to hit the reset button. I don't know, Ryan. Who could the Eagles pick at number four?
Do you take a quarterback? Let me ask you this, Debo, and I don't want to do this, but I saw someone tweet this out earlier, and Dan Schneier, who is one of the editors and a huge Giants fan of CBS Sports, responded to this tweet, but this guy, Joe Caparoso, I don't know who he is, but he tweeted out, the Jets should take on Wentz's contract for two first-round picks from the Eagles and let him back up Lawrence's quarterback. Wentz's contract is I think it's like $49 million dead cap space or something. Insane, like next year. Would you at any point want to get rid of Wentz at the cost of two first-round picks just to get out from under that contract?
So the Eagles are trading two first-round picks plus Carson Wentz.
So Carson Wentz's dead cap hit right now in 2020 is $77 million. Next year will be $59 million. And then after 2021, you can get out from under it. So you're not trading for after. No. You can get out for one more year.
I'm not at the point.
Going anywhere.
At that point, when you're trading two first round picks, might as well just, you're pretty much sacrificing the next couple of years anyways. Just keep Carson and hope he turns it around and is more his 2019 self than his 2020 self.
Yeah, I don't like that tweet. I didn't realize that you could get out of Wentz's deal after 2021. So yeah, you keep him around one more year.
It's tougher next after 2 years. It's much more manageable. The next 2 years are going to be tough to get out of it.
Right. Yeah. After 2022, the dead cap is $24 million. And at this point, teams seem to always they're 24 million. You can deal with.
So the Giants and the Seahawks played. Do we think the Giants win the division?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, Breach. Debo.
Yeah.
Wow.
I honestly think they could win out, especially if Daniel Jones comes back healthy.
I'm still fine with the Washington football team. I don't think it's off the table, but I mean, certainly this is a huge win for the Giants.
Ginormous.
Jamie, from our social media team, and Azer, who obviously hosts the Fantasy Football Today podcast. We're on that Fantasy Football Today Twitch. And like Jamie, after we ended the show, Jamie cut on. He's like, you guys don't understand how happy I am. And AJ was like, I could not be more thrilled. Like, these Giants fans think that they're winning the Super Bowl or something. It's very
bizarre. So funny you say that. Rob Arcerio, the producer up here, basically said the same thing. He said, I feel like we can make a deep playoff run. Like, he was so legitimately excited. And that is one of the biggest wins of the year, I feel like, for any team underdog, right?
And them saying that isn't crazy, because if the playoffs started today, the Giants would play the Seahawks in the opening round, except it would be in New York, and they already beat them once. So, boom, you win that game, you're in the divisional round, and all of a sudden you're playing another. Like, it's absolutely insane they won this game, because number one, Seattle was the only team in the NFC that had not lost at home this year. You know, you take the crowd away, but you still have to fly all the way out to Seattle. It's in the middle of the nowhere. It's dreary. It's rainy. Nobody wants to be there during the winter. It's a beautiful city during the spring and summer. And you have Colt McCoy as your backup quarterback. There is literally Didn't seem like the Giants had much of a chance, and they just this was a great.
Yeah, I disagree. I thought that this was such a bad matchup for the Seahawks because
why?
Seattle wants to pound the ball and run the football, and New York's good. New York's good at stopping the run.
They ran the ball awesome. They just gave up on the run.
Did they run the ball awesome?
They averaged over 5 yards per carry. Chris Carson had 13 carries for 65 yards. They just decided it's like Russell Wilson went to the sideline and was like, guys, we're down. Let Russ cook. Let Russ cook. And then they just kept throwing the ball when they should have kept running the ball. It was insane. The Russ cook thing blew up in their face.
Are you sure that's what happened?
Yeah. And the interception that Russ threw late wasn't his fault. I think it went through Chris Carson's hands, if I'm not mistaken.
Russell wasn't good in this game.
No, not at all.
He was wildly inaccurate.
Good enough to win. Yeah. And not only that, the Giants got screwed late. I think of the series before they ended up.
DK Metcalf kind of got locked down by James Bradbury.
DK Metcalf also stiff-armed James Bradbury back to the East Coast. That was, oh Lord. But you're right. But the Giants had a setback on a defensive holding call when they had looked like they had gotten off the field late in the fourth quarter. But they came back. Oh, and the Seahawks actually ended up scoring on the very next play. But they came back on that 4th-and-18. Third down prior to that, they sacked Russ to make it 4th-and-18, then had the pass break up down the field on the bomb. That is an enormous win. And I think that says a lot about Joe Judge in terms of that team. Cause I say it all the time. We talk about Matt Rhule and the Panthers seemingly loving Matt Rhule. I think the same can be said for Joe Judge.
Joe Judge needs to be involved in the coach of the year discussion.
Yeah.
No offense to Mike Tomlin, but like, I mean,
Stefanski.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, like, if you win the NFC East after where you were with Colt McCoy starting games, I mean, you need to be in the conversation. Giants are 5-7 now, and if Washington loses, they will be in a very good spot to take down this crappy division. Rams 48, Rams 38, Cardinals 28. The Rams, my best bet of the week, -2.5 cover pretty easily. The over 48.5 hit. I had that under as well, so that stinks. Jared Goff, 26 fantasy points, and Kyler Murray, 21 fantasy points. I have been saying for weeks that I thought the Rams were a bad matchup for the Cardinals in terms of what they do defensively, et cetera, et cetera. I hope that you guys listen to me. Everyone listen to me and bet on the Rams or pick the Rams. I'll check the picks page to see who did and who didn't. I'm guessing Ryan did not.
No, I think I did.
Mm.
Yep, took the Rams.
Okay. You both did. Good job. Dubin didn't and Jamie Eisenberg didn't. Everybody was on the Rams. This is a dominant win by the Rams. They pretty much, the Cardinals got out to an early 7-0 lead, but then Los Angeles just took control and really didn't look back the rest of the way.
I think the recipe is much like the Kevin Stefanski recipe. Running game, play action, Jared Goff has success. The running game ain't working and Jared Goff needs to do it all. It ain't going to work out. And also, hat tip to, that was Jalen's last name. I'm so spaced out. Number 20, the Jalen Ramsey. Oh, okay. He shuts down DeAndre Hopkins. I think they've met 4 times, maybe. I have to go check the stats. 4 times he's held them to 50 yards or less. This game, I think DeAndre had 52 yards.
Yeah.
So that's
Jalen Ramsey. That was my whole point. It's like they can use Jalen Ramsey to lock down the number one receiver, whether it's DK Metcalf or whether it's DeAndre Hopkins. And then that just really, it lets Aaron Donald just uncork on the unsuspecting quarterback. Hopkins, 13 targets, 8 catches, 52 yards and a touchdown. Dan Arnold had a fluke early busted play touchdown. And I like the Cardinals are in danger.
Remember, and you can dunk on me for this. Remember when I said that the Vikings are done no matter what after they lost to the Cowboys?
Whoops.
Well, they're in the playoffs right now because the Cardinals are moonwalking their way out of the playoffs.
The Cardinals had a bye in week 8.
Right, since the Vikings are the 7th seed right now.
Yeah,
since that week 8 bye.
Oh, up high, down hard.
Since that week 8 bye, Arizona is 1-4, and their only win was on a Hail Mary. So we're talking about a team that really should be 0-5. They've completely fallen apart, and we've talked about it before, but Kyler Murray's injury has just completely changed the way he plays football. He doesn't really try to run anymore. This game, he only had, 15 yards rushing? I know we talk about if a running back gets to 100 yards, you know.
How do we do that?
One of those dumb stats. But with Kyler Murray, it makes a lot more sense. And Kyler Murray's rushed for under 40 yards in 16 career games, 3-12-1. So like when he's not running around kind of keeping the defense honest, the Cardinals offense becomes more one dimensional. And, you know, he's not Patrick Mahomes where you can win being one dimensional. So it is just that this offense has kind of fallen apart over the past few weeks. And if I had to pick playoff teams right now, I don't think I have the Cardinals in.
So from week 5 through week 10, when the Cardinals went 4-1 with their only loss to the Dolphins, a 3-point close game loss, and then of course they had the Hail Mary over the Bills. Kyler Murray was averaging 11 rushing attempts per game. In those 5 weeks, he had 55 rushing attempts. He got hurt in that Bills game, I believe, right? Or was it the Seattle game?
Seahawks game, I think.
Seahawks game. In the last three games, he has a total of 20 rushing attempts. 5 carries, 15 yards against Seattle, 5 carries, 31 yards against New England. And then today, 10 carries, 49 yards and a score against the Rams. And that was in major comeback mode. He is just not.
That was Kenyon Drake.
Kenyon Drake. What am I getting read right? Oh, so he has 15 carries for 61 yards. What's wrong with me?
5 carries for 15 yards against
the Rams. I'm saying he has.
So he has
15 carries for 61 yards in the last 3 weeks, all Cardinals losses. I think the shoulder thing is causing him not to run. He doesn't want to take the hits. They're trying to be cautious with it. And as Ryan points out, they're maybe walking out of the playoffs.
I mean, still think that Cowboys loss is going to come back to haunt the Vikings.
Okay.
Ryan's still on the Vikings can't make the playoffs bandwagon.
No, they're in the playoffs now. So, I mean, they're doing it. But
I wouldn't be surprised if the Rams represented the NFC in the Super Bowl.
Well, they're in first place right now. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant the division. They won the division.
They're going to win the division.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've got
the Seahawks, to me, are the Titans of the NFC. Their defense is so unreliable that it's a wrap.
That's actually a great comparison. Mobile, efficient quarterback throwing to like physical freak show from Ole Miss.
Yeah.
No defense. Yeah. Yeah. So, I think the Rams are legit and are going to cause some problems.
So next week, the Vikes play at Tampa. So we'll find out pretty quickly. And then they still have to play at the Saints.
That's right.
All right.
I don't know why you're still talking about the Vikings.
I got to talk myself.
Well, and the Cardinals have to play the Giants. I'm not so sure they're going to win that game.
Nah, it's a bad matchup for them. But I'm glad you mentioned the Vikings because that's the next game we're going to talk about. Vikings 27, Jaguars 24 in overtime. Oh, oy vey. My man Mike Glennon nearly took down the Vikings as I predicted. I picked the Jaguars and the Jets to both win on this day, and they both came oh so tantalizingly close. The Jaguars plus 10 covers, push on 51 on the over. Kirk Cousins, Justin Jefferson, and Dalvin Cook were your top fantasy performers, and the Jaguars got a must-win game under their belt. The Vikings got a must-win game under their belt, and the Jaguars got a must-lose game under their belt to stay in the hunt for the number one seed. Mike Glennon will continue starting. Doug Marrone announced after the game. You mentioned the Vikings, Ryan. It feels like they're going to make the playoffs.
Here's the thing. Like, we saw a lot of Kirk Cousins, but Kirby Cousins reared his ugly head. Did you see the interception he threw?
Yes.
What?
Pick 6.
What was that?
That was awful. Yeah, it was bad.
Like that, Justin Jefferson, is that the guy you said? That's the one you said you think somebody rookie of the year. Is that what you said? I don't know if some other.
I think that Justin Herbert is losing so many games that, and
Justin Herbert came back to earth on Sunday. We can talk about that in a minute, but Justin Jefferson is definitely in the conversation and he is so good and so fun to watch. Adam Thielen has 12 touchdowns in 11 games now, I think. I think that's because he missed the game because of COVID. He's quietly just balling out. So I give Justin Jefferson and Thielen both a lot of credit because we dog Kirk Cousins all the time for not being Aaron Rodgers or a top 5 quarterback. But he finds a way to get it done, and he has his moments. Dalvin Cook, Brinson, your big talking point 3 weeks ago was that Dalvin Cook has to run for 120 yards every week. Well, he did it today. But here's the thing. They're in Minnesota. The Jaguars are quietly a very scrappy team. You should be beating the Jaguars at home if you're a playoff team. And I do wonder, like Adam Gase, his days are numbered, and it may be singular day. Doug Marrone, this team is like battling. I think, you know, you bring in your GM. I know things are probably going to change, but at least he's making a case where I'm not just mailing it in.
I think they should fire Doug Marone just so they can reboot. But I mean, I get it. I mean, they fired the GM midway through the season and didn't fire the head coach. So who knows what they're going to do? They were losing. The Vikings were losing for much of this game. 19-16, they took the lead for the first time in the third quarter. Got up to a 24-16 lead and looked like they were going to finish it off. And then Glennon marched the Jags down the field. Oh, no. They got a short field, didn't they? Was there a missed field goal? What happened?
I can't remember.
They ended up with a short field and scored it. Oh, no, I think they may have intercepted Cousins.
No, the game tying touchdown was a regular drive because it came after Bailey hit a field goal to put the Vikings up 8 because then the Jags needed 8.
Okay, that's what it was. Huh. I'm trying to think. Okay, yeah, now I can't remember what happened. All right. Oh, I know. Whatever. Who cares? Anyway, maybe I'm just wrong. They lose in overtime. Jags, I agree. The Jags are fighting, and the Vikings look like they are going to mess around and try to make the playoffs. We pointed out, Breach and I did on the Look Ahead podcast. So it's Minnesota, Tampa Bay. Love the over in that game. I think that's a shootout because, you know, you can't run against the Bucs. They're going to get Dalvin Cook involved in the screen game. They'll throw Justin Jefferson a bunch, throw Thielen a bunch. Those guys can't hold up in man coverage on either side. So I think we'll see a lot of points scored in that game. And if Minnesota wins that game, they're in really good shape for the
playoff. And they're cooking. And that's a big problem for the Buccaneers. They lose that game.
That is correct.
That is a huge, huge game. And like the Vikings can win or lose. They're like, I know we were talking about the Titans can win or lose against anyone. I don't think the Vikings are even as close to as good as the Titans, but I do have that feeling that they can, if they made it to the playoffs, they could pull off an upset.
Well, and Minnesota would, if they beat Tampa Bay, they will move ahead. Tampa Bay will become the 7 seed.
If the Cardinals win, like, I don't know the tiebreakers in front of me, but there might be a scenario where Tampa Bay drops out of the playoffs. If the Cardinals win next week, Tampa Bay loses.
You sounded almost identical to Jim Mora just then.
Playoffs. Playoffs. If Tampa Bay loses, Arizona wins, Minnesota wins, they'll all be 7-6. I don't know the tiebreaker situation, but clearly Minnesota will still be in the playoffs because they currently are.
If Arizona beats the Giants and Tampa loses to Minnesota, the Buccaneers would be the 8th seed.
Oh, how do you know that?
Because I'm using the ESPN playoff machine.
Oh, so that's super saucy.
Super saucy.
Love it.
Now, it's possible that there's some like funky tiebreaker here that I'm missing. It says, okay. Minnesota gets the 6th seed with a tiebreaker over Arizona based on best win percentage in common games. And then wins a tiebreaker for Tampa based on best win percentage in conference games. So there's a lot that would have to play out. Like, it's not guaranteed.
So you'd have to play out the entire season to finish out those two tiebreakers.
Let me just say this. If the Buccaneers don't make the playoffs, that is one of the biggest disappointments of the last 5 years.
I would say 50.
Maybe.
I mean, that would be, and we'll get to, maybe we'll mention a team that could get back in the playoff hunt shortly. But first, Cole, actually, no, we'll go straight to that. Pats 45, Chargers 0. Ouch, Anthony Lynn. He got absolutely blanked by Bill Belichick. I cannot believe Pete Prisco took the Chargers as the best bet. That was so dumb. Anthony Lynn asked about it, said, I expect to be coach of the Chargers tomorrow. Obviously, the Patriots covered.
I thought he was going to say next year. He said tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah. The Patriots covers a 2-point dog, road dog. The under 46.5 somehow magically hit. Cam Newton scored 2 rushing touchdowns for, he now holds the record for most games in a season with multiple rushing touchdowns. And I don't know whether it's a bigger story. What's the bigger story here? Anthony Lynn possibly getting fired, before the season ends, or Patriots making a little playoff run, like I told you.
I think it's the Patriots. I think they're the bigger story here. Cause look, we wrote off the Patriots. I mean, I'll say I didn't think the Patriots get the playoffs because I don't think they can get to 10 wins. I still think it's going to take 10 wins, but now it's not out of the realm of possibility that they win out. I mean, They're out in Los Angeles for a few days. They play the Rams. They play the Dolphins. They play the Bills. They play the Jets. They'll probably be underdogs in three of those four games. But guess what? The Patriots are winning games. They're underdog against the Chargers. They won 45-0.
They should have been underdogs in that game, though. I think there's a 25% chance they went out. That might be too high.
But it's possible. And this was classic Belichick football. You're playing a rookie quarterback. So what do? You put out these defenses that completely confuse the rookie. And that's what happened. Justin Herbert looked like a seventh round draft pick. He looked completely lost on the field. And then
Ryan Finley.
Unnecessary.
Dunked button. The special teams play. I mean, this was like watching, football porn. It was the.
Not if you're the Chargers.
Not if you're the Chargers. The Patriots blocked a field goal, returned it for a touchdown. They also had a punt return for a touchdown. That's two touchdowns just from your special teams. I mean, this was a butt kicking all out. And man, if I'm the rest of the AFC, the Patriots are the last team I want to see in the postseason.
Absolutely.
Debo put this Anthony Lynn quote in Slack. Anthony Lynn after the game said, that was one of the worst football games I've ever been a part of in my 30 years in the National Football League as a player and a coach. That was unacceptable and embarrassing, end quote. To Breach's point about the special teams, Daniel Popper, who covers the Chargers for The Athletic, tweeted this out after the game, and he wrote, the Patriots lined up to punt five times in this game. The Chargers had the wrong number of players on the field for three of those plays. One of the series, they lined up with 12 people, got flagged, gave a first down, and then they lined up with 10 people four snaps later. Incredible. This, what are we doing?
Yeah, it's bad.
You can't sit 11 people, just so we're clear. 11 people can be on the field at one time.
You know who else had that problem? Matt Patricia. Remember the Dalvin Cook touchdown run? The Lions only had 10 players on the field, and that same thing happened twice a week earlier. If you can't get the right number of players on the field, what are you doing? How are you coaching a professional football team? It doesn't make any sense.
Your whole thing, if you're Anthony Lynn, is that you're not some flashy offensive genius. You're a disciplinarian who's is strict about the rules and keeps things tidy and keeps it tight. And it's the opposite. And this is so much worse than losing a typical Chargers game. Cause usually the Chargers just have their heart ripped out. It's like, well, maybe this franchise is just cursed. This is you. Welcomed the Patriots into your house and got absolutely skunked. I mean, skunked. 45-0 is a humiliating professional football score.
There's only been three shutouts this year. Jets got shut out, Lions got shut out, Chargers got shut out.
Now, I think Anthony Lynn will probably get fired, but I think it'll be at the end of the year. I think they respect him too much. I do want to walk you through a little scenario here. So the 49ers are a one-point favorite on Monday night against the Bills.
They are?
Yeah. Most people think the Bills will win. Exactly. The public donkeys think
the Bills opened as a favorite, Ryan. It got bet.
Yeah. Gotcha. San Francisco. Gotcha.
So it's not out of the realm of possibility that the 49ers win that game, right?
Yeah.
Let's say the 49ers win that game. The following week, the Dolphins will play the Chiefs. Oof. Bills will play the Steelers, and the Patriots will play the Rams.
Uh-oh. What's going to happen?
Let's say, hypothetically, the Patriots, Bill Belichick gets the best of Sean McVay again. The Chiefs beat the Dolphins. That's not crazy. And the Steelers beat the Bills. Also not crazy, right? In week 15, the Bills are at Denver and the Patriots are at the Dolphins. I'm going to give the Bills the win there and I'm going to give the Patriots a victory in Miami. In week 16, the Dolphins, how did I lose the Dolphins, are at the Raiders. I'm going to give the Dolphins a victory there.
Wow.
And I'm going to give the Patriots a win over the Bills on Monday Night Football at home. That seems like not unreasonable.
Okay.
Finally, in week 17, the Dolphins and Bills play and the Pats and Jets play. If the Dolphins were to triumph in that game and the Patriots were to triumph in that game, do you know what would happen with the playoff seedings with those two teams, with those three teams?
Will the Patriots win the division?
The Patriots will win the division at 10-6. The Dolphins will hit the seventh seed at 10-6. And obviously, things could, I didn't do it the whole season. And the Bills will miss the playoffs.
Yikes.
It's not that crazy.
The problem for me is this. You're not playing the Chargers every week if you're the Patriots. Once the back-to-back games, Cam Newton threw for fewer than 100 yards. He's never done that before in his career, I believe. So that's a concern. The running game's great.
So yeah, but they were thumping both those teams.
For instance, in that scenario you just mapped out, that Bills Dolphins game would be for a playoff spot.
Yes, correct, Breach. Week 17, if the Bills win,
the loser would not make the playoffs.
The Bills would, so it's either Bills are the fourth seed in that scenario, or they're out of the playoffs. Either win the division or they're out of the playoffs. And for the Dolphins, you're either the seventh seed or you're out of the playoffs. That would be wild.
That would be your Sunday night game.
Yes, it would.
I don't know. I still think, I'm just not sold on this Patriots team. It's great what they've done.
Belichick. But now think about the two scenarios we just walked through. The Buccaneers lose to the Vikings and slide out of the playoffs, and the Patriots sneak into the playoffs. That would be the biggest, table flipper in the history of sports from where we were midseason, when it's like Belichick's toast and Brady is rolling.
Yep.
And then after the Buccaneers lose their next two, Arians cuts Brady and he signs with the Patriots before week 17.
Wow. Incredible stuff.
Boom.
All right. Moving along. Dolphins 19, Bengals 7. There's not much to say about this game. The Dolphins covered as 10-point favorites. The under 43 hit. Tua Tagovailoa, 17 fantasy points. A weak sauce ejection of Xavier Howard and Tyler Boyd in this one. I thought the Bengals might be able to mount a comeback and try and cover.
The Bengals were winning at halftime, weren't they, Breach?
There were more fights in this game than the Bengals scored points.
Oh, Brian Flores should have fought a Bengals player.
He was mad about, what was he mad about?
Keith Grant got rocked.
Right. That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let me just say real quick, about this game that look, and I said this on the early podcast, the look ahead, the Bengals offense is terrible. They've only scored two offensive touchdowns since Burrow got hurt. One was in garbage time against the Giants. One came here on a 72-yard screen pass. So, kind of luck, kind of catching the Dolphins napping, because I'm sure the Dolphins thought there was no way Brandon Allen would throw a 72-yard.
Well, Tyler Boyd got around the corner, and then the Dolphins defender pushed him towards the goal line. Didn't even push him out of bounds.
So the Bengals, even with that, didn't even put up 200 yards of total offense with a 72-yard touchdown pass included. Now, here is what I'm going to say. It is not about the Bengals. If I'm a Dolphins fan, or I'm the Dolphins period, I'm still a little concerned about the Dolphins. The Dolphins got inside the Bengals' five-yard line four times in this game and only scored one touchdown.
That's not great.
I'll ask the question that I ask every week. If you're a Dolphins fan, you definitely want Ryan Fitzpatrick playing for the playoffs. Is that right?
I don't know why they made the move.
If Ryan Fitzpatrick was the quarterback in this game, I think the Dolphins would have won 36-7.
And look, Tua may end up being great, and I get all that. But right now, this team, Brian Flores has his team playing hard. You just talked about him. He's willing to go to the mat and fight for his players. Ryan Fitzpatrick can put points on the board. Tua is still, and he said it after the game, he said, I know I missed some throws, I have to throw the ball away, be smarter, blah, blah, blah. Ryan Fitzpatrick gets you that now. I don't know. I mean, you're right, Brinson. I don't know why they made the move. I know why you made the move, but this team isn't 2-8.
Take your note, copy off Andy Reid. Take the message out of his playbook. Andy Reid had Alex Smith. He said, I'm going to ride out the season with him, and then I'm going to let Patrick Mahomes start next year. Just say, all right, I'm going to ride out this season with Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Tua is the starter next year, and that's it. And then nobody's going to question you, because if Tua is your quarterback, I don't know that you're making the playoffs, because you have the Chiefs, Patriots, Raiders, and Bills to close the season. If Ryan Fitzpatrick is your quarterback, I think you're going 2-2 there, maybe 3-1, but if you have Tua, I mean, 1-3 or 0-4 is not out of the question.
I think they saw the Texans tanking, saw the Texans being terrible, panicked that they might have to have a top five pick again. And so we got to see what we got in Tua.
Well, I don't understand why.
No way they made the move to Tua. We were told it was they think he gives them a better chance to win now. No, he doesn't. He just doesn't.
They're 8-4. So how do you sell that to people that want Ryan Fitzpatrick, like us?
Well, that's the problem, is that Tua's 5-1, but.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's 5-1, but all the wins,
special teams and
the
defense
carried him to the first two wins over the Rams and Cardinals.
He started 6 games already?
Yeah.
And this is the first game in which he's attempted more than 28 passes.
That's not right.
We're 12 games into the season. Yeah, we're 12 games into the season.
It literally feels like it's week 4.
They're 8-4 and they were 3-3 with Fitzpatrick?
They were 3-3. Fitzpatrick was completing 70% of his passes, and that's right. It seems like it was just yesterday, but.
But when they benched Fitzpatrick, they had won two straight. They beat the 49ers 43-17. Fitzpatrick went nuts, and then they beat the Jets 24-0.
I think out of the five, was that the Rams game where they absolutely demolished Jared Goff?
Yeah, the defense. Fitzpatrick carried
started
that
like
one.
Eight games, guys. What are you talking about?
He started six.
Rich is looking right at it.
What? Well, I know Tua started off the bye, and they played the Rams off the bye.
Tagovailoa off the bye.
Fitzpatrick started seven games.
Okay.
Are you sure?
He beat the Jets twice because he started because remember Tua was injured.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but. Yeah. Right. That's
the,
why.
The Dolphins are 8-4. Fitzpatrick.
So Tua's 4-1, not 5-1.
Yeah. Fitzpatrick's 4-3 as a starter, and then they lost the Denver game when he came in at halftime.
4-3 versus 4.
Well, Tua lost that game. If he had gotten Fitzpatrick any help before he got hurt, if he would have put up more points.
He'd probably win the game. Right.
Correct. Is any positives on this Bengals game, Breach? I feel like no.
What is your definition of a positive?
I mean, once Tyler Boyd goes out, you know that you're not getting as AJ Green was targeted
once. Let's not talk about the Bengals. Let's get this.
The team has turned into loose cannons. They just lost their starting left tackle. Bad against the Bengals at all times.
Oh, Jonah Williams got hurt?
I think so today. Yeah, Jonah Williams got hurt. He got carted off the field. Not sure how serious it is. Third season's a disaster. I think everyone on the team is going to give up because, like, what's there left to play for?
All right, let me ask you this before we move on. Zach Taylor's job security.
He gets one more year.
Breach is
got to win next year with
loyal,
Burrow. That's it.
So loyal to Zach.
No, I mean, he just
said
got him Burrow this year.
Renegade.
Why do you have to Zach Taylor? What is he? I don't get it. Why?
I mean, they've been in almost all of their games.
Yeah, except this game.
Sure, he's got four wins in his career, but they've been competitive in some games.
All right.
I give him one more year with Burrow. And if they lose, if they
you're like Mike Brown. Like Mike Brown doesn't want to move on from an obvious disaster.
One more year. What does Zach Taylor have to do next year?
Seven wins or more.
Yeah, seven. I think you want more than that with Joe Burrow.
I mean, you do, but you got to revamp that offensive line. Wins. Zach Taylor doesn't build the roster. He gets this crap offensive line. And what else are you going to do? You know, Joe Burrow's taking these hits.
Joe Burrow killed.
Well, he's not getting Joe Burrow killed. Zach Taylor's not making the personnel decisions.
He's calling the pass plays.
Joe Burrow throws it in 2.1 seconds. I don't know how much faster that the Bengals can be doing
he
things.
He doesn't need to throw 60 times a game behind a crap offensive line.
I mean, that's fair.
Okay.
That's not a dunk.
Yeah, I don't know if that was a dunk. That's a layup.
That's a layup.
All right, moving along. I've been talking about the Bengals.
Sorry.
It's fine. Bengals fans don't even want to hear about the Bengals. Colts 26, Texans 20. The Colts -3 covers the under 50.5 hits. Phillip Rivers 23 fantasy points. Deshaun Watson 20. Jonathan Taylor 19. Big bounce back for the Colts. They needed this one to get everybody back from the COVID list, and they take care of business against the Texans. Although Deshaun Watson,
he's good,
fumbled the football on the 5-yard line. And he said, this bleep hurts. I'm tired of losing, being so close over the years. It's tough. It's tough. So Colts are good.
That was tough, but he's really good. And they had the safety at the end of the game that didn't help their cause as well. I'll just say this. Jason Lockenford wrote about this Sunday morning and talked about it on NFL Today on Sunday. Jack Easterby is the president or whatever his job title is, the former life coach from the Patriots. I think he's a pastor as well.
Chaplain.
This job is not a desirable job because Jack Easterby doesn't have much experience in terms of doing hiring people and personnel decisions. And you have salary cap is a huge concern. No draft picks. You basically have Deshaun Watson and that's it. So I don't know how this team gets better in the short term because of all
these. I've been saying that for weeks. It's a bad job. I'd rather have the.
Which is nuts because Deshaun Watson is one of the best players in the NFL.
Right. If you're drafting, if you cut everybody loose in the NFL and you're draft, all right, Jets get first pick. Jaguars get second. Jets take Mahomes. Jaguars take, Lamar Jackson, whoever you want to do. Like, you're not getting the seven before Deshaun Watson's pick.
You might not get to two. I mean,
Maybe five.
I'm taking Lamar over Deshaun right now.
What's that?
I'm taking Lamar over Deshaun right now.
I take Deshaun.
Right. Maybe Russ, but still, he ain't blowing the doors off of him.
Russ.
You are?
If you're building a franchise, yeah.
Okay. Well, I know you're a big Russ guy, so I don't know where you come down on that.
Well, I mean, Russ is just third. I mean, Russ is older. Deshaun's, you're getting. Yeah. A franchise quarterback in his prime. Like,
I don't know how you fix the Texans.
And for a guy having no one on his team, he did come within 2 yards of beating the Colts.
Absolutely. And
Will Fuller's leaving after the season, too, by the way.
He didn't have Will Fuller on. He doesn't need Will Fuller.
Oh, he did today.
I mean,
Chad Hansen was going to blow up. Only I knew that.
Yeah, Chad Hansen did blow up. And defend Watson real quick. The fumble was on a shotgun snap that was almost rolled to him, so it was like 50-50 Watson's fault and the center's fault.
Right, like, they'll get a coach because, you know, everybody gets a coach, and Deshaun Watson's there, but Easterby's presence, the lack of draft picks, salary cap problems, it makes it an undesirable job.
That is just, they just such, the most demoralizing part for Texans fans is that it's just self-inflicted, just one stupid thing after the next, and what's going to hurt most is when the Dolphins have a top 10 pick from the Laremy Tunsil trade.
Yeah, and get like Penei Sewell or something like that. Anyway, I think the Colts are very good. I don't know that they're going to go win the Super Bowl. I think they're capable of it. They have a very good defense.
Well, they got to keep winning because they're currently, what, the seventh team?
That great defense, should we all be concerned that they have given up 365 yards or more in their past three games?
Last game I'm not concerned about because Brinson talked about a lot of those guys are sick on the COVID.
Well, they gave up 398 to a Texans team that only has Deshaun Watson, who didn't have Will Fuller.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's a concern. They had Chad Hansen, though. Don't forget that.
That's true, Chad Hansen.
I don't know why I yelled that.
Is he the best Chad in the NFL right now? Maybe Chad Beebe?
Oh, Chad Beebe. Good call. I can't name another Chad. Must be a kicker named Chad.
I mean,
Chad Johnson.
They didn't give up a single scoring drive in the second half.
Okay. I mean, they let the Texans drive all the way down the 2-yard line to potentially win the game. I mean, does that count?
No, it doesn't, because they didn't score.
Yeah, so they're seventh. Okay.
Yeah, the Colts didn't do anything to stop them.
They recovered a fumble. What are you talking about?
They recovered a fumble that the Texans dropped. A snap from the center to the quarterback is a routine play. You don't fumble that in a clutch situation. The Texans gave the game away.
Here are the drives from the Texans in the second half. Four plays, 14 yards, punt. 8 plays, 30 yards, interception. 5 plays, 15 yards, punt. 3 plays, -5 yards, safety. 8 plays, 73 yards, fumble. They've done that for multiple games now this season. The Colts have, where they adjust at halftime. Matt Eberflus does a great job, and they locked down Deshaun Watson in the second half. What are you complaining about this defense for?
Because they gave up 398 yards.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like
20 points.
It ain't 85 here.
You're such a Titans honk. It drives me nuts. They'll spin anything in a pilot, like to convince people. And like, what 3 weeks ago it was the Packers, and they didn't score in the second half.
So
the Texans have given up. No, the Colts have given up an average of more than 400 yards per game in their last three games. That's concerning.
Last week doesn't count.
Without Buckner and Autry, and then to the Texans who have.
And they had Buckner and Autry in this game.
That's more of a concern this week than last week for me. And the other concern is that they're the seventh seed, so there's very little margin for error. That's my concern.
That's a concern.
All right. But yeah, I mean, the scheme of things, they're a good football team.
Okay.
I do agree with that.
Saints 21, Falcons 16. Saints -2.5 covers the under 45.5 hits. Oh, this cost me a gigantic money line parlay. The Colts, Rams, Lions, and Falcons. Taysom Hill, your top fantasy performer, 27 fantasy points. Does this end Raheem Morris, the Raheem Morris buzz? Is it over?
That's YouTube. Numbnuts are on the Raheem Morris train. He'll get an interview because they said they'll give him one, I think. But I don't know.
You get swept by your rival, your biggest rival, and Taysom Hill beat you twice. I don't think you get the job.
That's great.
The biggest takeaway for me is I watched the first half of this game thinking, you know what? Taysom Hill, he ain't that bad. He had his first two passing touchdowns of his career. And, you know, we make fun of Sean Payton every week for this love affair with Taysom Hill, who is just Tim Tebow with bigger muscles. Taysom Hill made some throws today. And there was a 4th-and-7 early in the game. Will Lutz got hurt, so they went for it. And Taysom Hill hit Jared Cook right in the hands for first down, and Jared Cook dropped it. He made a couple other good throws. And, you know, we said it last year, 5-0 with Teddy Bridgewater. I think they're now 3-0 with Taysom. Are they 2-0 or 3-0?
3.
So they're 8-0 without Drew Brees. I still think, and maybe I shouldn't say this, I still think the Packers are the best team in the NFC.
Saints defense is really good right now.
So and you can clearly win without Drew Brees. So I can be talked into it.
Saints defense is the best in football?
Do you go back to Drew Brees?
Yeah.
I think you do, but I think you let him sit out one more game. Because I know there was talk that he might try and return in week 14 against the Eagles. But I think you say, it's the Eagles. Let's give Taysom Hill one.
After that, though?
They play the Chiefs after that.
Do you want Drew Brees coming back with five like the rust?
No, you say, listen, Drew, here's the deal. We want to see Taysom Hill versus Jalen Hurts. So get out there and let's see.
But do you want, that's funny. I saw that tweet. I actually think that there's some merit to that. All kidding aside, but do you want Drew Brees coming back against the Chiefs on 5 weeks rust?
Yes. No, but I tend to think, I tend to think that if you're going to beat the Chiefs, you probably need a little bit more high octane offense.
Taysom Hill looked pretty good today. And the Chiefs defense ain't scaring anybody.
And to add to Ryan's point, Taysom Hill converted a 3rd-and-6, a 3rd-and-13, a 3rd-and-17, a 3rd-and-8, and a 3rd-and-7.
And he had the 4th-and-7 dropped.
And the 4th-and-7 drop. I mean, he was coming up with some clutch throws.
And we saw with the Broncos, the best way to beat the Chiefs is to just pound the ball down their throat. So maybe the idea is you run a bunch with Taysom Hill. I don't think you rush Drew Brees back.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah, I have no problem with that. Don't rush Drew Brees back.
All right, my apologies to Sean Payton. He clearly knows a lot more about offensive football than I do.
I mean, we're idiots. We all were, Sean Payton, stuck with the gimmick.
Why do you love him so much?
Yeah, so that's why, because he can win football games with him. Okay, so yeah, Saints are great. Lions 34, Bears 30. Lions plus 3 covers. They win at the last second. The over 44 hits. Matthew Stafford, 32 fantasy points. David Montgomery, 22 fantasy points. Montgomery ran wild, but the Lions pulled off a Mitchell Trubisky. This is the strip sack. This is what I was thinking of, not the Vikings game. Late strip sack of Mitchell Trubisky. Lions recover. They go for a touchdown. And the Bears tried to win it late, but ultimately the Lions held on. And do you know what this means, guys?
Matt Nagy's getting fired?
Possibly. But it means something more important than that.
Daryl Bevel has as many wins as Matt Patricia?
That's incorrect, but it's something more than that. The Detroit Lions are now tied with the Chicago Bears.
The thing is, how hilarious would it be if the Lions made the playoffs?
It would be an incredible one. And even more important, all the Bears fans who tweeted us about how we had the Bears in last place and we collectively picked it for CBS. Like, look at these guys. No respect. They're anti-Bears sentiment. It's ridiculous. Crying up and down, whining, whinging, moaning, bitching, complaining, all that stuff.
It's funny.
They're going to finish in last place, losers. Losers lose. And the Bears are currently losing.
I love that you've taken this opportunity just to dunk all over these poor people.
And we are going to be right because we all picked the Bears to finish last. And they're terrible. They are awful. They're a bad football team. The games they won early in the season, fraudulent victories. They should have to return them. They should be stripped of their wins, shipped to Siberia, and you should never go on the internet and trash talk your 5-1 fraudulent football team again. They lost. It's over.
I'm happy Brinson's doing this. They deserved it. We got a lot of mean tweets in October calling us dumb and worse names that we can't say on this podcast because we did all pick the Bears to finish in last place. And lo and behold, look at the smart guys.
You want to take a victory lap after 5-1? You're going to get a storm of trash talking when you lose 6 straight games. That's just how it works. Deal with it. Losers lose.
Joe Musso, who we work with and is an anchor here at Stanford and a huge Bears fan, tweeted out, I'm ashamed that I stuck up for this team when they were 5-1. And that pretty much says it all.
And I feel bad because Musso, I know a bunch of, Tom Fornelli's a Bears fan. I don't feel bad.
Bleep. Matt Snyder.
I don't feel bad for Bleav. I feel bad for Snyder because he's, you know, like a good guy. But Snyder was every Sunday.
He was ducking all over you.
Every Sunday he texted me like, when are you going to admit you were wrong? I say, well, not now, suckers, because I wasn't. The Bears suck.
No, you can't lose to the Lions.
You can't.
I don't.
How big was their lead?
It doesn't
10 points with 3 minutes left. The Lions are the first row team over the past two seasons to win a game when trailing by double digits with less than 3 minutes left. Before today, Bear fans, get ready for this. Teams that were winning by 10 or more or 3 minutes left were 123-0 over the past two seasons.
Oh! What a big jam! Wallace took it in his hands and said, up, up and away! 52, Dunkaroo!
So what play is that Dickie V's going crazy for? Is it probably Duke UNC?
No, I don't know. No, I think it's like a Kansas game. I'm not.
Oh, okay.
We're gonna look it up.
What if it's just like Jock Jams and he specially recorded it for that?
look, the Bears are trash.
They're not good. Ugh. Must be so incredible.
Trubisky fumbled the game away.
5-1. You're the number one seed in the NFC and you're just not even going to sniff the playoffs. So they lost six straight games.
You would rather be the Jets.
Absolutely.
Get the slow burn. Just give it to me straight.
All right. You know, we're going to start with losers this week. The Bears are my loser again. I already did the rant. I don't need to redo it. You can clip it, toss it up there. Those are my losers. Losers lose. You guys are losers. You're not going to win. There's no winning here. Fire the coach. Fire the GM. Fire everybody. Get rid of the quarterbacks. Reboot it all over. And just remember, when you're slogging through another 5-11 season next year, that you thought this team was going to win a bunch of games at 5-1. It ain't happening. It's over. It's over. Who you got, Ryan, as your loser?
There are a lot of teams to pick from this week. I'm going to go with the Seahawks because – one point not too long ago, we said, okay, it'll be the Seahawks, it'll be the Saints, it'll be the Packers in the mix for the top seed. Russ Wilson is finally going to win that MVP. Dude, they lost to Colt freaking McCoy in Seattle. For some reason, Breach has his lock picks always be Seattle. Last year was Seattle, versus Teddy Bridgewater. This year it was Seattle versus Colt McCoy. Backup quarterbacks going to Seattle have a great chance to win a football game is the lesson here. Seattle's defense stinks. Russ can't do it alone. They lost a huge game that they needed to win.
Did they have Mike Glennon back in the day is when he was a backup to Jameis? They might have. Anyway, Breach, go ahead. Who's your loser?
My loser is the Cardinals. Their season is spiraling out of control. We talk about the Bears being 5-1 at some point. The Cardinals seemed like they were locked in. There was no way they possibly would not make the playoffs. And now they're on the outside looking in, and I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. So they need to get their act together. Having a handsome coach doesn't automatically get you into the postseason. I don't know if the Cardinals know that.
My winner, Kevin Stefanski. The Browns put a beating on the Titans. I know it's 41-35. Breach will tell you the game was closer than the score indicated. It was.
They should have won.
It was a total beatdown. And Baker Mayfield looked sharp. Nick Chubb ran the ball really well. A bunch of random dudes, Rashad Higgins, Donovan Peoples-Jones were the top receivers for this team.
Kendall Lamb, offensive tackle.
Yes.
Got a touchdown.
Exactly. All kinds of dudes were catching touchdowns. They spread it around. And look, this is the sort of thing. I mean, nothing's safe in Cleveland, but the idea that you could get the Browns are now 9-3. They're guaranteed their first winning season, their second winning season since the team came back to Cleveland, I think.
2007, last winning season.
When they Derek did,
Anderson, Brady Quinn.
That's right.
Romeo Crennel.
Braylon Edwards. They look very likely to go to the playoffs. They're the current 5 seed.
I think they're over 90% chance to make the playoffs right now.
Yeah, they're going to go to the playoffs. And that's a big deal for the Browns. And Kevin Stefanski in his first year in a pandemic is coming in and going to win double-digit games, take the Browns to the playoffs. And while we don't think they're going to go in the Super Bowl or anything, like that doesn't matter. You don't need to win the Super Bowl this year. You're giving them some hope in Cleveland, giving some thought to the future being bright. You're making people believe in Baker Mayfield again. We'll figure out his contract later. Let's just get the guy happy. Let him play well now. And the Browns are winning. Kevin Stefanski, a big winner.
There are a lot of winners that you can pick from, but I'm going with The New York Jets, baby. That's right. The Jets.
I was like, you can't go Giants after you went Seahawks loser.
That's right. The Jets. They had a chance to win their first game of the year, but Greg Williams said no way. And, in the locker room afterwards, according to sources, there were heard chants of, we're getting Trevor Lawrence. We're getting Trevor Lawrence. That's right. I just made that up. I don't know if they said that or not, but someone was certainly thinking that. And they lost a game they should have won. It wasn't even close. You could argue that the Raiders are also winners, but I'm going with the Jets because they have their franchise quarterback for the next 20 years.
Wilson, that was actually going to be my winner. I was like, I'm thinking outside the box, but really we're in the box together.
There you go.
Apparently. Good thing it's a big box though, because I don't like being too cozy. My winner is.
Wear your mask.
Taysom Hill.
That's a good one. I thought about that one.
I feel like for the past 3 years, all we've heard from Sean Payton is this is the next Steve Young. This guy's going to win 17 Lombardi trophies, 13 MVPs. And he said that for 3 years when Taysom Hill hadn't even thrown a touchdown pass. Now the Saints don't look like idiots for giving this guy $21 million. I mean, because I know every time Taysom Hill ran for a trick play, Brinson would be the first person on Twitter saying, what are they doing? Why are they giving this guy $21 million when he plays one play per game? Well, this doesn't necessarily justify it, but it does make Sean Payton look a lot smarter. Taysom Hill now 3-0, and he played brilliantly against the Falcons through his first touchdown pass of his career and his second touchdown pass. And if you're the Saints, you feel a lot better about maybe having to start Taysom Hill in the playoffs if for some reason Drew Brees can't go. And that is it.
I think those are all great picks. I love them.
Thank you.
Let's,
Brinson.
Yeah, love it. All right. That's it. That's the show, right? We recap everything. We're good to go. What a week.
We'll be back Monday. We'll be back Tuesday.
I'll be previewing, with, RJ White, the two Monday night football games. Check those out in your feed. We'll recap the Monday night game on here. We'll recap Tuesday night for Wednesday on here as well. Are we going to have a Brady Quinn football show this week, Debo, or no?
We would not miss that.
All right, good stuff. So are we gonna have how many damn episodes are we doing this week?
This could 41. Be. It's definitely double digits.
We're getting 10 plus episodes because we'll have a. If you count the early look ahead, the recap show, Monday preview, Monday recap, Tuesday preview, Tuesday recap, Brady Quinn football show, DFS show. Then we have the
it's Thursday night.
Thursday preview, Thursday recap. That's 10.
What are we doing?
Then the best bets show. So if in some news breaks, we're going to be at 12 episodes this week.
Yeah, that must be the record. Is 12 the record?
Oh yeah. For a week?
We had 14 free agency week. That was the record free agency week of 2020. But, yeah, who knows? Anthony Lynn could get fired by the time some people are listening to this.
And with all our episodes, we should shout out that dude who tweeted us and said he listened to 7 episodes in one day. I don't remember his name, and I just remember like, what? That's a lot of Brinson listening
to. Or what are the guys like, he tweeted, he's like 46,000 minutes last year of me.
That is some kind of punishment.
Like a Matt, I mean, that sounds like.
We need to have an award called the Brinson, and he hands it out to the person who listens to the most minutes of the podcast each year.
Yeah, can I tell you two funny stories before we get out of here?
Oh boy. Sorry for extending it, Debo. That's my fault. I should have just not talked.
I don't think I told you guys these. I tweeted about one of them, but, one, my wife, did I mention
your family, one wife or family two wife?
I mentioned this off the top. Did I already tell the story?
Yeah, I think you told both.
End on the duck.
Oh, up high, down hard.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.